WTVK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. He produced Michael Jackson's Thriller album and collaborated with the likes of Sinatra, Ray Charles, and many more. Quincy Jones died at the age of 91.
In the 1950s, Jones followed his passion, working as a trumpeter and conductor for Lionel Hampton's band, and would go on to work with jazz greats, including Sarah Vaughan. In 1978, Q, as he was called by friends, produced the soundtrack for The Wiz. He was also the man behind the all-star charity single, We Are the World. Ike Ajachi, ABC News.
The University of Florida's election lab said more than 77 million people had voted early as of Sunday. The actual election day is tomorrow, Tuesday. No one killed, but there were some injuries after multiple tornadoes touched down in Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt issuing disaster declarations for six Oklahoma counties. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
The Packers lose to Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had an early field goal, then trailed the rest of the night, losing 24-14 to the Lions at Lambeau Field. Dropped passes and penalties killed the Packers. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, man, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of momentum killers. You know, we've been getting away with a lot of it because we've been kind of masking it with the wins. But when you play a good team, man, you know, all the little things catch up to you.
The Packers now head into their bye week at 6-3 in third place behind Detroit and Minnesota in the NFC North Division. NBA, Bucks and the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Bucks forward Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game in Milwaukee and says several personal items were stolen. Baseball, the Brewers with two players winning Gold Glove awards for the first time since 1979. Second baseman Bryce Terang and outfielder Sal Frelick.
It's definitely cool, a little surreal still, and I think even cooler to do it, you know, with Bryce.
That's Sal Frelick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from our Madison studio, where I welcome King of the Hill and Futurama TV writer Mike Rowe and musician Eric Gelland from Mascot Theory joins me in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with some off and on patchy fog here throughout the day. Today, our high in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers in the mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and highs in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn joining us. This is a text off the text line. Quote, I'm dreading that it's a little too late. The last few weeks of polls are extremely bleak.
This is not the time to get wobbly. The polls right now still show her in the lead between 2 to 3 points. She used to be ahead by 5 points. So what?
Charles Franklin at Marquette Law School says polls don't vote. People do. Have a plan. Be a voter, Matt.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will look back at the weekend's news and also preview the election coming up on Tuesday, a special edition. Join us then.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The kids have their own space downstairs. It's also pretty awesome to expand that basement into usable living space or entertainment area. Actuate Improvement will transform your basement into a livable area everyone can enjoy. Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
The JR Sport Brief.
College athletics is going to be in the toilet.
The system is going to be in the toilet for the foreseeable future. It's going to be a mess, I don't want to say for the next decade, but it's going to take them about that long to iron everything out. Rome was not built in a day. And the fact that you had a system that exploited the athletes for as many years as it did, to just overturn that overnight and just make it a free-for-all, yeah, these are the results.
96.7 FM, 1670 AM, The Zone.
Well, now that the rain started showing up in Wisconsin, it looks like it's going to be a little bit more consistent. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It's a Monday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here with the Midwest Farm Report. I definitely had to change my thoughts as far as outdoor activities over the weekend. Definitely felt very November-ish. And now it looks like the moisture that we have so desperately needed is starting to reappear again today. Daytime highs today a little bit better than they were yesterday, up to about 68 degrees, but the winds have returned, gusting up to 25 miles an hour. More rain again tonight, possibly even a thunderstorm, and Tuesday, a good 90% chance of rain, at least in the morning hours. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that in about 15 minutes. You know, with the election on the horizon, farmers have to think about some of the priorities that they hold true for their farming operation. Up next, Bob Bosold visiting with Chad Vincent, chair of the Wisconsin Ag Export Council, on how the international marketplace has turned into a welcome spot for Wisconsin agribusiness. Stick around for that. Maybe a little sigh of relief now that the harvest is in the rearview mirror, but there's more information to be gained. Our friends from Helena Agri would like to remind you now is a great time to get ahead with soil sampling and knowing what you need for next year as far as fertilizer. Dean Ebert from the West Bend location is the manager there, and he says it may save you big money for 2025.
Right now, it looks like 28% is fairly stable, P and K as well. I mean, stuff has lowered down, tiered down from what it was a year ago. We're watching urea. That may soften yet on the open market. Say, when it comes to grain markets, fertilizer markets, sometimes we can put all we know, you know, about a, something the size of a shoebox, and then the world is going to do what it wants to do. Stuff is relatively stable at the moment, but you never know.
And those soil tests can tell you what still remains in your ground for 2025. Dean Ebert, along with us, the West Bend Market Manager for Helena Agri. Find out about the services they provide today at HelenaAgri.com.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above-ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/no pests.
What we produce in our farm fields and in our dairy barns must be sold across the country and across the world. I'm Bob Bosold from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Chad Vincent is president and CEO of the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. And as he said, they look beyond the borders of Wisconsin to sell products. They're going all over the world selling dairy.
We're running retail programs in Thailand, in Japan, in the Middle East. We've got the HEB, which is a huge grocery chain in Texas, which also has a huge business in across the border in Mexico. So we're running actual like U.S.-style retail promotions driving Wisconsin cheese sales in Mexico as well. We have 13 different buyers from around the Middle East region coming in to meet with us, to meet with your dairy processors, build relationships, and start buying cheese and butter and whey.
Those parts of the world have a different diet. Cheddar, Swiss may not be their cheeses of choice. So how much do we learn from them about maybe we have to adjust our production and processing practices and produce a little different product?
The good news is that we have Center for Dairy Research, and they've done extensive studies in probably across the 30 major countries about what type of cheese and what style and what are the characteristics that they want. Wisconsin makes more over half the country's specialty cheese, so we're used to making different, unique, value-added products. And because of that, we're able to really go in, meet with the customers, what do you really need, and create products for them. I mean, Ken Hyman at Nasonville makes a product for the Chinese market that's very unique. And the good news is they can't just stop buying it from Ken and buy it from somebody else somewhere else tomorrow. the ability to really understand what the market needs and to create it with the help of the infrastructure we have here and the 200 plants and the 200 different cheese companies, we're in a good position.
How do you work together with the Center for Dairy Research, all the processors we have, dairy farmers of Wisconsin, bringing in the foreign people? I mean, there's a lot of strings to pull here, and how do you make sure you're getting the right publics together?
That's what we do. I mean, we're really like the center part of a big spoked wheel, and we are constantly out working with the folks from CDR, understanding where they're going, what they want to do, and they ask us, where do you guys need us to go? We have people, a full-size team that is doing nothing but working with retailers in the U.S. and around the country to understand what they need and helping bring all the different cheese companies and dairy companies to the retailers. It's like a gigantic choreographed musical.
And that's in the country. You got the dairy marketers, but you're talking about Thailand and Kenny Hyman working with China.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you get in contact with those people?
Well, we also have a team of people that spend a lot of time out of country now. We have three or four folks that do nothing but work on export business, and they're out working around the country. But we also have great partners with U.S. Dairy Export Council, which is also partially checkoff funded and industry funded. We have the Department of Agriculture. There isn't a day that one of us isn't talking to somebody at Department of Ag about one of their foreign missions, because we're going with them or we're helping put them together. You know, that group will be in Paris with the second largest food show on the planet. So we'll have a dozen different dairy companies from Wisconsin at that show. And we're the ones that really coordinate it, get them there, get the products in, make it all happen.
Mexico and Canada have always been there. They probably always will be. I don't know how much their amount of purchases will vary and go up. We need to find new markets. How do you decide which markets might be the most profit potential for us?
Well, a lot of it, we work with the federal government and with the Department of Ag, and they've got the data about where the population growth is and about what the, and Center for Dairy Research has done studies over the last few years to really figure out where are the sweet spots. So a lot of it's, we're looking at North Africa, we're looking at Latin America, we're really heavy up in North United Arab Emirates, and as well as Thailand and Southeast Asia. So there's a lot of land out there, a lot of people, and a lot of cheese to be sold.
One of the challenges we've had is the European Union with these geographic indicators. How much of a hindrance has that been, and how much of a headway are we making? Because, Mexico signed some contracts with them designating that we can't use some common names.
Right.
Are these codex standards still in effect? How much of a jumble is all this?
You know what? Trade and trade policy is a complex world. The good news is we have a team of people, not just from Wisconsin, but out in D.C., that the whole industry is supporting, that's really working on what we call the common food names. Because it's not just cheese, right? The Europeans are trying to take, like, brats and make that only, right? So it's crazy. It's crazy talk. But 2 weeks ago, we were down in Chile, and we met with the trade commissioners down there, and they signed a side letter, which means that all the products that we're trying to sell in there, all the cheeses from the U.S., can be sold in under whatever names they have to be sold in under in Chile. But we got to fight that battle. And the good news is we've got people that are really talented and working on it. The bad news is that for the Europeans, this is, like, immensely, immensely important. And for the U.S., we've got 1,000 things on the list. We've got electronics, we've got microchips, we got all these other massive businesses. So we also have to work with the trade administration in the U.S. to make sure that we're heard. And so I'm actually work for the USDA as well now, in a volunteer capacity as the trade ambassador committee. There's a handful of us that are in all these high level meetings and making sure that the voices are heard. And so I work on the animal and animal product side.
Now, you wear a lot of hats. Another one right here in Wisconsin. You're head of the export committee here in Wisconsin.
Right.
What kind of progress are we making? What kind of topics are you focusing in on? Is it the trade challenges as far as the supply chain? What's going on with that committee?
Yeah, so this is wonderful because it's a bipartisan support coming out of the Wisconsin government. And they funded us with $1 million a year for 4 years, and half of that has to be spent on dairy and half of it on the rest of the agricultural products. And so there's a handful of buckets that we're playing in. One is we've got that Department of Ag has a team of people that are on the road 3 weeks out of four, and they go into countries and they drag people with them, companies with them, and get them aligned with buyers. And so, you know, they're in Chile, they're in Argentina, they're all over the world. And in China, what they're doing is we're building these relationships, because in export, if you're not there, you're not there. Right? So you got to have boots on the ground and you got to be there. So they're able to open the doors and get us into those things. The other thing that we're working on with them really is we'll have webinars that we'll set up and we'll bring in industry experts. So we'll bring somebody in to talk about logistics, right? So how do we get Wisconsin to get better train lines, or how do we get better access for the big bean business that we have up in the Chippewa area? Their products have to go up, and logistically, how do they get out of the country, because they supply like 80% of the world with their products. So it's an educational piece, and it's bringing in a lot of new players. So when I started with this, we were working with maybe three or four Wisconsin dairy companies. 2 years later, we're working with 25. These are smaller, mid-sized guys, and they're learning how to export. We're helping them get through the paperwork and get the processes going, because then get them in front of buyers. We have 13 different buyers from around the world and coming in to meet with them to see what we have, to start building a relationship, talking about what they need, what do we have that they would like. You know, so it's butter, it's cheese, it's whey. It's amazing.
In your mind, what do you see as the most exciting, the most potentially profitable export market going forward for the Wisconsin dairy industry here in the next year, two or three?
Well, the next year, two or three, I think the most profitable and biggest opportunity we have, crazily enough, is Mexico. Because Mexico's there, Mexico's got infrastructure, and Mexico is used to cheese and they're used to buying. But instead of just sending it now, we're actually in market and we're working with like 1,000 retail stores to try and get consumers to sample the product, and doing more U.S. retail type programs, which we know are proven here down there. The non-Mexico area, I think it's Southeast Asia, and it's Japan, it's Thailand, Indonesia.
Vincent also added, don't count out the Middle East as another long-term major buyer of U.S. dairy going forward. Chad Vincent, President and CEO of Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report. From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Ignoring established federal law, the U.S. Supreme Court's conservative majority overturned two lower court decisions and allowed Virginia to continue its purge of suspected registered non-citizen voters. News outlets have since confirmed that eligible Virginia voters were among them. Virginia is the latest state which has pushed such purges without adequate investigation to support a national GOP narrative, sweeping up American-born and naturalized citizens in the process. The National Voter Registration Act prohibits any purges within 90 days of an election. Virginia Public Radio and NPR have already found eligible voters on the list who apparently checked the wrong box at the DMV and now have had their registrations canceled. A similar purge of over 3,200 purported non-citizens in Alabama was halted in federal court in October. Court documents showed over 2,000 of them were valid U.S. citizens and eligible voters. In Texas, after Governor Abbott trumpeted that 6,500 non-citizen voters would be purged, the Secretary of State's office found only 581 were registered illegally, according to the Texas Tribune. Even more alarming is the Supreme Court's willingness to ignore established federal law and render a decision which, at the very least, has an appearance of partisanship, and worse, what that appearance could mean for post-election litigation. We have links to check a registration at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Darren Von Rudin, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden wasn't really concerned about hearing from the farmers after he got done being unhappy with you about an ad you made months ago.
Our members didn't get to tell their stories. And in the end, if you don't agree with each other, at least the conversation can happen. That really didn't happen.
One would think being in Congress would require a slightly thicker skin.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning on Up North News Radio, Congressman Mark Pocan and congressional candidate Kristen Lyerly join us as we wrap up the campaigning and get all set for the voting.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Happen. Find out more and check out their resources at compeer.com. Yeah, I'm not kidding you, Stu. Yesterday when we were parking cars up at Pambo in Green Bay, it was definitely helpful to have layers. But somehow when you combine cold temperatures, wet weather, and a little bit of a breeze, ooh, I don't know how they can measure that temperature, but let me tell you, it was chilly.
That'd be the whole wind chill business, Pam. And yes, we're at that time of the year where we factor in that wind chill of how nice or not nice it is outside. It certainly was a wet one yesterday. That rain marching northeast right through Wisconsin. It's out ahead of a warm front that slips off to our north today. South winds will really be on the stronger side, but helping to ensure that mild air is going to be in store. Temps well above normal again today, in spite of the precipitation. In spite of that moisture, you know, we should be still in the low and mid-50s for daytime highs. I expect to push up into the 60s today, hold on there, at least in southeast Wisconsin tomorrow, and then get back to more normal levels here for later in the week. Has to do with that warm front pushing north, the cool front out to the west. That will march through the state as we head through the day Tuesday. That's when I expect winds to begin shifting to the west and northwest, and then that cool down for Wednesday and Thursday. Well, the cool down back to more normal levels indeed. So some changes, some of the heavier rain, what we're expecting would be later tonight and into Tuesday. And at that time, rainfall amounts upwards of another inch or even inch and a half could be seen. A lot of indicators here point on from Sunday right on through Monday and Tuesday that 1 to 3 inch amounts could be seen around a good part of Wisconsin, especially from the southwest up into the central and south central part of the state. Very, very wet conditions are going to be the rule. And we are then, of course, going to have that cooler air. Not that we're going to freeze things up or anything like that, but we'll have that moisture. And then with the cooler air, it doesn't quite dry out as fast. That's all good in the long run. But if you still got something you want to do out on or in the dirt, going to be a little sloppy and kind of hard to get done out here later on. In fact, I can look ahead a bit, tell you as we head toward the weekend, another chance of rain could move on in. I'll be back with those forecast details right after this.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Actor portrayal.
When I first looked into life insurance, I worried about the hassle. Then I found Better Life. Their simplified issue whole life coverage plans mean no medical exam. I found a plan that fit my budget, and now my final expenses are covered. Plus, I get Better Life member benefits at no extra cost. That's definitely better.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is, of course, for a cloudy, brisk day. Showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Showers more likely, especially later today. Temps are still going to rise up. fact, pushing up into the mid and upper 60s, and the winds out of the south will continue at 5 to 15, gusting to 25. Cloudy, rain could be a thunderstorm yet tonight, dropping back into the 50s, low 50s in the far north. South and southeast winds 5 to 15. Clouds, some rain lingers Tuesday. Those temps getting cooler, only in the 50s in the north, still mid-60s in the southeast part of the state. Winds become west, even northwest, with that cold front on Tuesday, gusting up to 25. Then mostly sunny, cooling off for Wednesday. Only about 50 in the north, mid-50s in the south. The northwest wind's not too strong, but it's going to seem a little more like a November pattern once we make our way on toward the mid and later part of the week.
All right. You know, the only good thing about that kind of a forecast is at least I know I can commit to a certain pile of clothes for this week. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Schumacher Ag Meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Again, Compure Financial available for
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Badger fans, the final home matchup at Camp Randall Stadium is just around the corner, and it's a big one. This Black Friday, Badger football takes on Minnesota in a battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. Great tickets remain for the border battle matchup, but they're going fast. Don't miss out on your chance to be in the stands. Secure your seats for November 29th. For more information and to get your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Don't wait. Get your spot today.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best co-workers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th, and when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 107.5 WLAK and the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm James Kelly. Count on us on air on WLAK, on the web at WLAKradio.com, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. He produced Michael Jackson's Thriller album and collaborated with the likes of Sinatra, Ray Charles, and many more. Quincy Jones died at the age of 91.
In the 1950s, Jones followed his passion, working as a trumpeter and conductor for Lionel Hampton's band, and would go on to work with jazz greats, including Sarah Vaughan. In 1978, Q, as he was called by friends, produced the soundtrack for The Wiz. He was also the man behind the all-star charity single, We Are the World. Ike Adjachi, ABC News.
The University of Florida's election lab said more than 77 million people had voted early as of Sunday. The actual election day is tomorrow, Tuesday. No one killed, but there were some injuries after multiple tornadoes touched down in Oklahoma. Governor Kevin Stitt issuing disaster declarations for six Oklahoma counties. This is ABC News.
The Packers lose to Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had an early field goal, then trailed the rest of the night, losing 24-14 to the Lions at Lambeau Field. Dropped passes and penalties killed the Packers. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, man, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of momentum killers. You know, we've been getting away with a lot of it because we've been kind of masking it with the wins. But when you play a good team, man, you know, all the little things catch up to you.
The Packers now head into their bye week at 6-3 in third place behind Detroit and Minnesota in the NFC North Division. NBA, Bucks and the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Bucks forward Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game in Milwaukee and says several personal items were stolen. Baseball, the Brewers with two players winning Gold Glove Awards for the first time since 1979. Second baseman Bryce Terang and outfielder Sal Frelick.
It's definitely cool. A little surreal still, and I think even cooler to do it, you know, with Bryce.
That's Sal Frelick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, Ben Wickler, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, joins me. We will preview the election on Tuesday. Plus, what's the right way to deal with election stress? I got answers. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with some off and on patchy fog here throughout the day today. Our high in the low to mid 60s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with showers in the mid to upper 40s. Tomorrow, cloudy with rain likely and highs in the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He is a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy, one of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Experience. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
You always have to consistently, till the day you die, stand up and fight for those rights. You got to stand up for yourself. You got to stand up for your neighbors and your friends and even folks that you don't maybe agree with politically, that they also have the very same right. And anybody trying to stop that is going absolutely against what this country is supposed to be all about. I think more people need to stand up and say, you cannot stop me from voting.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
continuing election coverage you won't find anywhere else, including results when the polls close on November 5th. I'm James Kelly. Count on us on air on WLAK, on the web at WLAKradio.com, and always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
We'll help him at some point this year, and I think he's going to play, but if he's going to turn the ball over four times in 6 minutes, it's going to be very, very tough to have him on the floor. But athletically, he's there, and I think he's got the skills, and I think he can be a really, really good defender, but he's feels like he's got a ways to go in a number of departments right now to be able to help them.
That was I know Tanji led the way with 15.6 rebounds, 2 assists. Is this transfer looking pretty good? Give us some gusto, some bravado, some je ne sais quoi.
He hit his first shot. It was a 3-pointer. He drilled it, and then he struggled for the rest of the floor. He went 2 for 11 the rest of the way from the floor, but he was really, really good at getting to the basket and creating fouls and creating contact and getting to the line. He went 8 of 9 from the line, so he did much of his damage from the free throw line. I'm not sure. I think he hadn't truly played a ton of basketball for a while here.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You know, the weather for the harvest of 2024 may have been fantastic, but I'll tell you what, the markets are anything but fantastic for our Wisconsin farmers. Ben Jarboe is going to join us on a Monday morning, catching up with Dr. Paul Mitchell from the Rank Agribusiness Institute. Paul's been pushing numbers to try to get a feel on what the income level of Wisconsin farmers is going to look like end of 2024, and how much money are they going to have for purchasing inputs 2025. Ben's got that story for us as we start our week. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the fourth day of November. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, the nation's first commercially built airplane was assembled in Beloit. It was built by Wisconsin's first pilot, Arthur P. Warner, taught himself how to fly, was the 11th in the United States to fly a powered aircraft. Happened on this day back in 1909. Wow, on this day, 1979, the Iran hostage crisis started. Remember that one? I was in high school. 444-day crisis. Group of students took over the American embassy in Tehran and took 52 American hostages. The crisis led to a breakdown in American and Iranian diplomatic relations. I just remember that one of the hostages ended up being my commencement speaker in high school, but it started on this day back in 1979. Bunch of happy birthdays today. Happy birthday to Hot Lips, Loretta Swit. She is 86 years young, obviously known for her role in MASH. Comedian Kathy Griffin is 63 years young. And hubba hubba, Matthew McConaughey, that good-looking actor from Texas. He is 54 years young. And now you know. Well, we're changing it up a little bit this week on the Farm Show with elections, obviously, just around the corner and all kinds of information we'll want to bring your way tomorrow. Today, we're catching up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com. That's a great website for all the information you need. And if you want to talk to them, you can always give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. I caught up with Randy Kath from the Steffes Group and talked about the upcoming consignment sale that they are organizing just for the state of Wisconsin.
We are. We're going to close out on an online format on December 19th, so well after harvest. Let everybody have a chance to get harvest and tillage done, get the beans marketed, get the corn in the bin, and see what you have for leftover equipment, unused equipment, or simply equipment that you want to update. So we're putting together a Wisconsin standalone consignment sale closing on, again, December 19th. It'll open the week before. We're looking for construction equipment, agricultural equipment, heavy iron. Basically, it's going to be farmer-to-farmer type of deal. There may be some dealership participation. We'll see as to where that goes. But we're actively looking for consignments. We can sell it from your yard. You do not have to transport the equipment to a central location. We will come to you. Simply give us a holler. Tell us what you got. And within a day or two, we'll be in your yard to talk about your equipment and how we can help you market it.
Yeah, that is a fantastic service, I think, for any of us that have been involved with consignments previously. Usually it's, you know, for the FFA kids or something like that. Just dragging that stuff around can limit your enthusiasm.
That and just the simple fact of making the transport costs, pushing that onto the buyer and not having to take the time, the energy, or the expense of transporting the equipment in a direction where it may end up turning around and coming right back in your area. But this way, it sells from your farm. We list you as the consignor. The potential buyer has direct contact with you. They can ask the right questions and ask the person that actually operated the equipment versus asking an auctioneer who may or may not know anything about that particular piece.
Well, and you guys provide your professional services as far as maybe a little counsel on what that piece of equipment or that vehicle might be worth in today's market too, right?
Absolutely. We do a in-house appraisal on basically everything we sell. So if you're curious as to what your item is worth or what you think it may sell for, again, get a hold of us. We'll do an on-site visit, on-site inspection, and we'll give you a realistic number on what we think the value of your item is.
Oh, any place in the state of Wisconsin, Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group. Remind you again, if you want to get a call out to them and let them know what you're thinking about offering, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy, how do these consignment sales usually do as far as interest on the steffesgroup.com website?
We get a lot of interest from Wisconsin, especially from out-of-state buyers. It seems like Wisconsin has a little bit of untapped potential from a consignment point of view. So we're trying to tap into that with our huge database of buyers throughout the Midwest. So a lot of the items that we sell in Wisconsin actually end up leaving the state. Mm. So we do get a lot of following through the Midwest, Iowa and Dakotas, into Montana and Canada. Mm-hmm. So it's marketed not just, even though the items are all in Wisconsin, we don't just market in Wisconsin. We actively market through the Midwest region to make sure we're not leaving anybody left behind that may be looking for that piece.
Boy, what a simple way to try to thin out some of that equipment, like you said, that might need replacing, upgrading, whatever it may be. Let it go. The consignment sale is coming up. That deadline again, if we want to get in, Randy?
Deadline, well, we'll take stuff right up to the beginning of December. So the sale is going to close on the 19th. You can get a hold of us before December 1st. We're good to go.
All right, and that's what you want to do. Go to steffesgroup.com to learn more. Steffes group.com. Or like Randy Kath said, pick up the phone and give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Randy Kath along with us from the Steffes Group.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. This week's contestant already looks like a winner, Jim. He's sporting a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Well, with an advanced combination of exclusive genetics at his side, this should be an easy 3 points. Like three distinct modes of action against above-ground pests. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Start your best year yet. Visit pioneer.com/nopests.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
As a proud sponsor of the WIAA, Rural Mutual roots for all of Wisconsin's student athletes. Whether they're a hometown hero or they dream of the national spotlight, sportsmanship keeps Wisconsin strong. Visit ruralmutual.com/WIAA to learn more about how they support high school athletics.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Actor portrayal.
When I joined Better Life, I thought it was just about life insurance. But it's so much more. Better Life connects me with others in my community through social groups, events, and wellness programs. Insurance helps give me peace of mind, but the member benefits, they give me a real sense of belonging.
Better Life Insurance, where better means belonging. Call 888-488-4136. Insurance issued by Better Life Insurance Company. Terms and conditions apply. Member benefits are subject to change. Contact a licensed agent for details.
Welcome back on a Monday morning. Well, our Wisconsin beekeepers had a good convention held in Onalaska that wrapped up on Saturday afternoon. Our own Ben Jarbo was there. You'll be hearing more about that convention through the rest of this week. Nick Thill is the current president of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association, and he said they're busy right now trying to get their beehives ready for the winter.
Definitely with the temperatures that we're having that are still getting up in the 50s, like
a lot of the bees are probably still taking some liquid feed down, so I would still continue to feed your bees, and also kind of starting to get ready to, if you're overwintering in Wisconsin, taking preparations to wrap your hive, insulate them, put up wind blocks to kind of block your north and west winds, and just keep supplementing feed and
That's Nick Thill, president of the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association, at their state convention that wrapped up Saturday in On Alaska. Boy, the economic indicators not looking too good for a lot of farms, not just in Wisconsin, but across the United States. The latest survey from the Federal Reserve Bank out of Kansas City shows that we are seeing more loans taken out than we've seen since 2017. The other kind of alarming part, according to the bankers, is for the first time in two decades, the loans that are being acquired by farms are larger than $1 million for a majority of the loans. Again, that's the first time in two decades we've seen that trend. Markets on Friday in Chicago were a little bit mixed. December corn finished 3¾ cents higher at 414.5. November soybeans were unchanged at 982.5. The December wheat dropped 2.5 cents to 568. July new crop wheat was down 1¼ cents, 605¾. As far as dairy on Friday, the barrel cheese was up 0.75 cents at 186¾. 40-pound block cheese down 0.25 cents at 183¾. AA butter dropped 0.75 cents on Friday to settle the week at $2.70 a pound. The November Class 3 fluid milk that goes into cheese, that finished 13 cents higher at 20.25 a hundredweight. Keeping the theme going this morning on farm economics and how challenging 2025 could be for Wisconsin farmers, Ben Jarboe rejoins us in just a moment with a conversation with Dr. Paul Mitchell from the Rank Agribusiness Institute. Paul's already taking a look at the balance sheets for 2025. And it's going to be a stretch. Stand by.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, I've been reading up on the policies of all the presidential candidates with an eye on my wallet. And former President Trump has been talking up a new 20% tax on goods from other countries. It's called a tariff. I did some research, and it's not sounding good for the prices that we pay. A tariff is just a tax that the government charges to businesses when they bring goods into the country. And the National Retail Federation says that tariffs force small businesses to raise prices or just eat those costs. And typically, big corporations just pass those prices on to consumers. The Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center says that, quote, Trump's tariffs would significantly raise the prices of imported goods since they'd mostly be passed on to consumers. Now, I know prices are not rising like they were. I mean, hooray for that. But man, I still can't afford to pay 20% more for things. We will keep you posted on how this develops. In the meantime, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'm joined by former 2nd District Congressman Republican Scott Klug and former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen. Your vote will help save democracy. We discuss
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Got great corn, and we'll set records for the state right now as projection, but for soybeans we'll have a good ones. But often that's what happens when we have a good year. A lot of else other people in the Midwest have a good year like this year, and so we just have a huge supply. Basic econ, lots of supply and demand about the same. You're going to have a downward pressure in prices, and we're definitely seeing that downward pressure in prices, and that unfortunately leads to this year for corn and soybeans anyway, probably negative margins for a lot of Wisconsin farmers on grain farmers.
And if we take a look at the front end of this issue, the inputs, what are some of those inputs that were higher than normal that could be contributing to having this negative net farm income?
Yeah, we saw a lot of upward pressure from 23's crop to the 24, the one we're harvesting now or finishing up harvesting. I mean, it's a little bit of everything. Interest and labor costs are really up from 23 to 24. Fuel, fertilizer, chemicals were down a little bit. Rent was kind of flattened at the national level. Wisconsin, I think rents were still had some upward pressure and for 23 to 24. So that's definitely putting a lot of downward pressure on farm income. Nationally, they're projecting something like down 7 to 9% because even though the corn and soybeans are down 20% for corn, 15% for corn in terms of cash revenues coming into farmers projecting, livestock's doing well. Dairy and beef are both up a little bit. So once you add that the ups and downs together at the national level, they're projecting only a 7 to 9% decline in farm income. So dairy farmers are doing all right. It's the grain farmers. If you're a cash grain operator for Wisconsin, this is a tough year again.
Well, if you look over the past few years, I mean, we've had drought past couple of years, and now this year we had too much rain early on and then turned into a drought. Is this looking like it might become the new normal where farmers are just going to have a tough time no matter what the weather throws our way?
Yeah, if you really look, we had a really high, I'm just thinking corn and soybeans now. We've had some really great years back in the early ethanol boom. That's like 10, 12 years ago. After that, we had several years of $3 to $4 corn. You know, beans weren't doing very well either. And then we had a run up here just as COVID was really kicking in and people got really, the economy, we had prices jumping for commodity prices, corn and beans again. And we're coming out of that. Last year, the 23 crop was definitely coming down. We had there wasn't any more COVID payments and PPP loans and stuff. This year is a negative margin for a lot of people, tight for some of them. That's my concern. The 25 crop is already looking to be that continuing this trend of costs coming down a little bit. The first projection on the University of Illinois is like a cost of production down 5-6%. From a combination of cutting back and from there's just downward trends on things like fertilizer and prices, not massively drops, they're just slow, gentle declines in prices. And so 25 is looking rough, too. Even I'm sorry to say, even we're trying to get the 24 crop out of the off the fields. And so the 25 is not looking great either for corn and beans.
You were mentioning these lower prices on our grain, the corn and soybeans. How do you think that's going to end up impacting the smaller and family farms and all at the end of the day here?
Well, a lot of it is just I think we're going to have to figure out the new price floor, if you will, or the expected price for corn and beans. We've had a lot of inflation. It's worked its way through the economy, the producer price index, the production side of the economy. Input prices have been fairly flat on the whole. This is the whole U.S. economy at the input production side, not just agriculture. But yeah, I mean, the December corn was opened up at 440 this morning for December 25 corn. November beans for 25 are at 1033. That's the Board of Trade or the Chicago Mercantile, and those are below break-even prices for cost of production, not even including a grain basis. And so, yeah, this is tough. This is going to be tough, and this is like the third year in a row. So I think we're just going to have to the story here is low prices cure low prices, but it's going to be tough.
Do you happen to know of any programs where farmers can go and get some help for having this low farm income for this year, even though we have the high yields?
At this point, I mean, the farm bill is in play. They extended the 24 farm bill, they extended the farm bill into 24 again. So we'll see what they do for the next year. But they're projecting, the Congressional Budget Office is projecting small ARC and PLC payments those are the traditional farm bill payments for corn and soybean base acres. But they're nothing. There's not much. They haven't been updated. The farm bill passed 6-7 years ago now, and those price floors that were built in, the 370 and the 840 for beans, corn and beans, they're just not effective anymore. And so they're talking maybe of maybe an emergency bill, but an ad hoc emergency bill, maybe tied to hurricane relief or something. But I'm agriculture tends to be a little lower down on the priorities, and I could see us being the Congress being fairly distracted during this election or the immediate aftermath as we work out this lame duck session of Congress and then the new Congress being starting. We'll see where agriculture falls in. I'm just not optimistic. I doubt we'll see a farm bill, and then we're going to have to get going on next year. But maybe we'll get an emergency ad hoc program. Farmers that are highly leveraged, you're going to have to find some honest ways to try to get rid of some of that debt because you've got to make your interest pay. You can't put those off. I will say that the general consensus among ag economists, about 70-75%, if you've probably seen this in the news, is we're in some sort of on the brink or in a recession within the ag economy, driven primarily by the crop side. Like I said, dairy looks good for a while, and beef is still looking good if you've got cattle.
Mitchell says that even though the grain market is not expected to show gains in the near future, it is just something that we will have to watch as a whole and get back to the basics of farming as a grain industry to persevere through the possible recession. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Either Donald Trump or Kamala Harris is going to win this race. Don't be the person saying, I agree with Kamala Harris on 80%, but I was really ticked off about X. I wanted to send her a message, so I didn't vote, or I voted for someone else. And then you get Trump, and people are going to say, you can't have a national abortion ban. They have to listen to us. We're the people. It'll be too late. Your vote is powerful. Do not waste it.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
How the state of Kansas took mental health seriously. Today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back to back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
In a 2022 report from a group called Mental Health America, Kansas ranked dead last among the 50 states and the District of Columbia with respect to mental health status. It was a wake-up call that health officials in the state took seriously. Elaine Johannes is a professor of community health at Kansas State University.
The state legislature, about a year or so ago, did go ahead and make some policy changes that opened up access to some mental health care.
Johanna says the 2022 ranking was during the COVID pandemic, a stressful time for everyone in the country. She says we are wiser about mental health now because of that experience.
What did the pandemic teach us? What can it still encourage us to learn from? Asking, are there ways we can create more resilience in communities, more people who could be more connected? And that's, again, an indication of why having access to care and having it be relevant to that rural community or something that people will likely use.
Johanna says the latest report ranks Kansas 22nd overall, a big improvement. Her goal is to get the state in the top 10 for successfully addressing mental health challenges. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Derek Mosley from the Lubar Center at Marquette University will be here to break down the latest polls, and we will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Charles Franklin from Marquette University Law School. This is the last poll before we will go to the polls.
In the presidential race, we have it at a 1-point Harris lead, 48-47, with 5% undecided. And how those people make up their minds, who to vote for or if to vote, that's easily enough to sway this race.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. No